This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, before this episode started, our guest, Adele Casals Rocha, was talking to me about, was it Adele, three dogs?
I have three dogs. Well, I have three dogs, I should say. I have a Jack Russell Terrier who is 18 years old this week. And I have a Labradoodle, Quentin Dean, who is 3 years old this week as well. And then we have Rosanna, who is our Golden Doodle, who is 58 pounds. She's the biggest of the three. So she's the alpha female. She trumps the two men.
She beats the tar out of them, huh?
Pretty much. She eats their food, whatever they turn away and leave something behind. She takes over.
Well, Teddy Bear is an alpha male. Okay.
Oh, you have more than one dog?
No, just he's the one dog.
Oh.
But he's an alpha male. And what he does is when after he pays a visit to a lawn, a necessary visit, he kicks his feet back to establish his territory.
Oh, yeah. You know, like he's kicking. I've seen that.
He wants to know who's boss. It's him. He can't play that with me, though. With me, he barks for attention. And he barks at me like he's ready to pounce, but his tail is wagging. I sit down next to him, and he cuddles on my leg. Weird.
Oh, that's sweet. Dogs are lovely.
Why are we talking about this? Because we're human. Just want to mention this before we get on with the regular business with Adele. We had talked a number of times about the Project Blue Book TV show on the History Channel. I think it's like 10 episodes. The finale was broadcast this week. First season. The ratings are pretty good for this kind of show. It's in the top 10 among cable shows. That's based on the 18 to 49 rating, which is the key rating for advertisers. So even though it doesn't have more viewers, it's ahead of anything on Fox News. It's ahead of anything on MSNBC, if you get my point here.
Yeah.
It's really
so it's
doing
hot.
Yeah, it's a pretty good spot. Number one is The Curse of Oak Island. I do not understand that.
What's that about?
I don't understand that.
What is it? Is it paranormal or, well, I guess the name suggests curse.
I know that Kevin Randall is a big fan of that. The Curse of Oak Island. This is where we do live search here. It is an active reality. Oh, it's an island in a tree-covered island on the south shore of Nova Scotia that has intrigued treasure hunters for more than 200 years. They're looking for a treasure. It's supposed to hide one of the greatest treasures of all time.
Hmm.
In reality.
Interesting.
I don't know how you sustain a show like this week after week.
They must have a series Bible that extends about maybe three seasons. Which means that they've already written them all out way ahead of time so that they know how it's going to end. And then into the next season. You know what I mean?
We understand what a series Bible is. I wonder if our listeners do, because basically it's the blueprint for that show. Where they expect it to go, it basically profiles the characters and everything. And this is used as the basis for screenwriters to write up shows. They have to refer to the series Bible to keep within the framework of the show. Now, some are simple, like a Law & Order SVU show where it's a procedural, so it's the crime of the week, with a few scenes about the lives of the players. But in some shows, and a big example is anything on Netflix, when they used to have those Marvel shows which are being canceled, like a Daredevil, Luke Cage, etc., it's one story that plays out over 12 episodes. Serialized. if you get my
interesting
point.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I had one time in my life where I wrote scripts, movie scripts. We actually even had one that was a pilot for a series. Are we on?
I think so. I think we just started right in with some chatting at the beginning of the show there. And
oh, okay.
And so we've been just kind of listening to you guys chat about TV shows here.
Okay.
So, yeah, one of our forum people was saying how the show is progressing. That's the new one, the Project Blue Book show. And the finale is called The Washington Merry-Go-Round. And for those out there who follow ufology, they would know that Ruppelt's book, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects, actually chapter 12 is called The Washington Merry-Go-Round, and it's all about the DC 1952 UFO flap there. So it's pretty interesting the way that the show's unraveling, where it's following fairly closely kind of the history of the subject, but in kind of a highly dramatized manner.
That's incredible. So it's amazing how people get creative, you know, and get all these shows together fairly quickly. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. You know, we're talking about everything else here, but your book, which is, I believe it's out now, and it's called Portal, A Lifetime of Paranormal Experiences, right?
That is correct. It was actually published earlier this year, and it came out as a pre-order on Kindle. And then the actual paperback came out March 1st. So it's very recent vintage. But the book itself is about 205, give or take, pages long. And it's a compilation of all different kinds of experiences, eyewitness reports. You know, the first half of the book talks about a family who I know pretty well. They have experienced a lot of different paranormal manifestations. This is basically in the area of the Philippines. And for the audience who might not be familiar with the Philippine Islands, it is actually an Asian country that is right in the middle of the Pacific Rim. So if I may digress, just to give a little bit of history so that we have a backdrop of the setting of where these events took place. The Philippines was one of the countries that was devastated by World War II. It is strategically positioned right smack in the center of Asia, below China, below Japan, and one foot actually touches Thailand and Indonesia, with Australia probably about maybe a 4 or 5 hour flight down below. So because of its strategic position, it was actually, during wartime, one of the more ravaged countries, you know, during World War II.
Right.
And when I talk about the hauntings and the demonic manifestations that are included in my book, I'm talking about part of it coming from the fact that there's a lot of massacres that took place on Philippine soil. I am by nationality Filipina myself, so I have visited that country. I mean, I've lived part of my life in that country as a teenager or early teen, preteen, and then moved to the United States. During the time that I was living there, and this is a time when things were not so much in recovery, but it was pretty calm. It was a time of prosperity, and for some reason, and I don't know why this is, Gene and Randall, but after a war takes place, you give it 5 or 10 years, and suddenly there's prosperity. You tell me what that's about. It's an interesting offshoot of, you know, mass violence and murder.
You know what? We're going to ask that question in our next segment, okay?
Okay.
This is when we have to do the break. Adele Casals Rocha, author of Portal, A Lifetime of Paranormal Experiences, which is repeated twice on Amazon, that phrase because they like it so much. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Did you notice that, Adele, that they repeated the title twice?
Did they? No, I didn't notice it.
Maybe. It's only for the paperback edition. But you see it that way. For the Kindle edition, it's correct. And the paperback edition is repeated twice. I kind of think here they want you to buy it twice.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, sure. That would be hard to argue with, wouldn't it, Adele? What's interesting about this book, too, is that it's got an emphasis on Southeast Asia. So it's not typically centered on, you know, just the USA or even Europe, for that matter. And for the most part, that's where a lot of UFO books are written. It's sort of aimed at and about, if not stories about, cases that take place over the continental United States or Europe, mostly. You know, we hear things from South America and Central America from time to time, but this one is a little more rare, I would say, to find cases for that particular area of the world. So I find it kind of interesting from that point of view, especially from an author who has lived there. So can you tell us about maybe some of the experiences you had while you were there?
Well, that's an interesting question, and that takes a pretty long answer, so bear with me. Before we broke, we were talking about the setting of the Asian country that I had lived in. Where I lived in particular was about maybe 50 minutes outside of Manila, and it was a small suburban neighborhood at the time, which is probably now pretty much swallowed up by a metropolis. But during the late 60s, 70s, that area was pretty much very calm, very quiet. And there's a little town called San Juan. That town is relatively small, and I'm trying to think of something that's similar, you know, in the California area that it could be. I'm just kind of struggling with that right now. But about 3 miles outside of San Juan sits a hamlet, a very small town. And right after the war, they started building, you know, because of the devastation, a lot of the buildings were rebuilt. A lot of the homes were rebuilt. You know, new roads were made, you know, so pretty much a recovery period for the next 20 years. So that by the time you got to the mid 60s, what you saw were a lot of, townhome apartments and one floor apartments that were growing. Into that is a young couple who just got out of college. The man was a writer, the woman as well, trained to be a journalist, and they chose to live in one of these new apartment dwellings. It was two floors. It was a garden style. It faced a creek, and several yards from the creek was a series of windows where, you know, the apartment looked out into a view of an area that pretty much had trees on both sides bordering the creek. This story was told to me, since at the time that this was happening, I was just a small child. I was less than a year. The gentleman in question, as I said before, was a writer. He had been going through a bout of depression.
So about what year would that have been then?
It would have been about 1962.
Okay.
They lived in this apartment, which was brand new. It was a three-bedroom. It had a living room, of course, and a kitchen. In the Philippines, it was normal for people to have live-in servants. And so they moved in with a live-in servant who had her own room underneath the stairs and then pretty much went through, you know, normal things in their lives. But shortly after they moved in, the gentleman who was a writer and lived at home, he had a den that was between the master bedroom and the nursery and started to tell his wife that he was seeing this creature. At first, she thought maybe it was just something he was imagining, or maybe because he was depressed. He was a very sensitive person, as writers are. He was very impressionable, and he was, you know, he was young for his age. He just got out of college. He started insisting that there was something at dusk that was coming out of the tree that bordered the creek. And you have to understand, if you can picture this, there was a series of windows that connected to each other from the master bedroom into the den, which is where he was, and into the nursery next door. And the ceilings were pretty high, and the reason for that is back then there wasn't really much use for air conditioning. It wasn't really something widely used, as, you know, in Europe it's not used as much these days as well. And it was more for ventilation. So the ceilings were high, the windows were big to just allow the air to flow because it's a tropical country with high humidity. You know, it's usually a tourist destination for people who are on that end of the world. It's something that's usually frequented even by Europeans. And during that time, it wasn't really visited as much yet, but there was a lot of European commerce. As he would look out this window, his typewriter faced the window, as soon as dusk fell, he would get a sense of something intently looking at him. And he claims that it came out of the tree that was just opposite the window that was leaning over the creek.
Right. So this would have been just some distance away from the window, like not right outside the window, but sort of across the yard, maybe a few dozen yards kind of thing.
I would say, from what I understand, because it is the back of the dwelling, there was an expanse of grass before it actually starts to go downhill into the creek, and the tree is somewhere there. When he saw this thing, he started describing it to his wife, and what he described terrorized her. And she then started started telling her own parents, who only lived 3 miles away, and they wondered whether, you know, because he was on medication for depression, whether it had something to do with the medication, an overreaction. But to make a long story short, his parents were contacted. You know, they had them consulting a psychiatrist and all these different things that of the day was the usual therapy. But as the months passed, it intensified. It became something that he saw maybe a few times a week to every night. He started to dread sleeping. And then he eventually told everyone in the house, and by then they had a child. He told the servant and his wife that he felt the creature was going to take his soul. Into this situation, he was finally told, you're going to have to tell someone when it starts coming or emerging from the tree.
This person you're talking about how old was he?
He was 22 at the time, from what I understand. I think it actually, you know, he started to become depressed when he was still in college, but then it intensified.
So a fairly young person then. So here for a moment, I was envisioning, because of what we were talking about prior to the break there, that, you know, maybe we were talking about someone who was a bit older and had experienced some of the World War II problems and maybe had some PTSD. But this sounds like a much younger person. The son of someone who might have been in World War II kind of thing.
Correct. Interesting that you add that because his wife, her parents were both involved in World War II.
Okay, this is just getting too fascinating. Adele, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In Christchurch, New Zealand, 50 people were killed and 50 more hurt in two mass murders at two mosques. partner's word of one worshiper who took action.
There is one man who was inside the mosque of the second attack, and he decided to act. He acted in a number of ways, trying to draw the gunman's fire on himself, trying to lure the gunman out of the mosque into the parking lot, and at one point was even able to pick up one of the gunman's discarded guns and throw it through his windshield.
The suspect, 28-year-old Brenton Tarrant, published a long manifesto online, and the murders were live-streamed on Facebook. President Trump issued his first veto. It came on a measure blocking his emergency declaration at the southern border. Democrats plan to hold a vote March 26th to override the veto. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're back with Randall and Gene. Some people think I'm not really here, that I'm Emmerix. They don't say that anymore. Is it live or is it? Adele, proceed.
Yeah. So I was talking about World War II and the devastation there, and they started building new homes. You know, as soon as Liberation Day was over, you know, people were starting to pick up what was left of their lives and the tragedies, burying their dead and doing what they can to go back to normal life. In the little town of San Juan, which is about 50 miles, 50 minutes outside of Manila, it was an idyllic suburb at the time. It was one of those places where you wanted to live because it was very peaceful. They started building homes and not realizing maybe there were dead that were unblessed. The ground was unblessed. And what I mean by that is they had mass graves of whoever had passed. They never bothered to dig them up. And so where they remained, the houses were built on top of them. About 3 miles outside of San Juan is a hamlet called Little Baguio. Spelled B-A-G-U-I-O, and I know it's a very tough name to pronounce, but it was a hamlet at the time, a very, very small town, and they started building garden-style apartments, townhomes that were up and down, two floors. Into this, a couple moves in, and basically they had a child, and he started, the gentleman who was a writer, started seeing a creature emerge out of a tree from a creek that was in the back of the apartment. There's a series of windows that goes from one end of the apartment to the other end of the apartment, all facing this creek. and it continues to the second floor where his den is, which is right centered between the master bedroom and the nursery where the child is kept. He had sightings maybe once a week, then went to twice a week, and then from what I understand, it just became obsessive. He was seeing this creature come out of this tree almost every night. And in the Philippines, we have servants, you know, not because we're rich or anything, but it was just a lifestyle where you kept a servant or two that lived in the house. They slept there, they ate there, and then they had days off. The young servant that they had was instructed by his wife to listen in for what might be happening to the infant upstairs as they were cooking and making dinner preparations and whatever. So one night the servant heard the child crying and she dashed upstairs. And this is several months after the husband had already been talking about this creature coming out of the tree. She finally opens the nursery door in time to see the infant crying, almost trying to jump out of the crib. We're talking about a toddler here. And whatever it was that was terrifying the infant was hovering over the window to the point where any kind of light from outside was obliterated. She grabs it. She didn't have the courage to take a look at actually what was there at the window. She knew it was very dark, very foreboding. She got a very strong sense of menace and a heaviness in her chest. And she ran out with the infant, dashed downstairs, and told the woman, there is something upstairs. And by the time the wife got up there, it was gone. So a couple of days passed. So they're now towards the end of the week. The infant starts crying again. So this time, instead of the maid rushing up there, the woman rushes up the stairs. And this time she rushes to the den while the maid was rushing to get the infant. And as she rushed into the den and opened the door, and you have to be seated for this one, she beholds a creature that took up the wingspan of the entire breadth of the window, and the window was more than 6 feet wide, and it went all the way up to the ceiling. And I would say it's the height of the ceiling from what I understand. And it was glaring at her husband, who was leaning down over his typewriter, pretending that there was nothing there.
Was this creature, was still outside at this time?
It was leaning against the window. It was clinging to the wrought iron jalousies of the window.
Well, maybe it's a good thing that there was some sort of bars across the windows. I mean, would this be the type of grid work that would prevent something from getting in then?
Randall, what I have to tell you is I don't know that it would have. This is what I'm going to tell you, which would tell you it could have easily come in. And I think it could have come in if it had been invited. The creature had the wings of a bat. It had the eyes of a cow that was yellow, had the face of a goat, and it was balefully glaring down with menace. And as the woman entered, it averted its eyes and looked straight at her. And this is her account herself. She was seized with just a sense of sadness, menace, and just pure evil. So she dashed to the nursery, and by now the maid was out in the hallway. She goes into the master bedroom where there's a cross on the wall, and now you're going to tell me it's not religious, but this is what happened. She takes a cross. She comes back to the room, and brave soul that she is, she comes towards the window and presents the cross to this creature. The creature then takes one of its wings and folds it over its face as if to shield itself. And then it starts to bend down and effervesce, and then it eventually disappeared.
Wow. That would be quite the experience. That is really strange. Although we have heard accounts of these sort of hybrid type strange animals in all kinds of folklore, going all the way back to ancient Greece kind of thing. So this is quite fascinating that something like that would come out of the Philippines, sort of like a Mothman sort of thing, but with this animal kind of head to it.
It's interesting that you say that, because some people feel it is a Mothman, that it was actually a portent of doom. You know, if you think back about the Mothman case with the Silver Bridge and the, I think it was 38 or 39 people mm-hmm. that drowned and the bridge fell, it was maybe perhaps telling them something was about to happen.
Like a portent of the future kind of thing.
Yeah. So it could be that. Yeah.
Did something happen after that, like a portent?
How does this story end? Okay, well, I will tell you. When I tell people this story, they're just totally flabbergasted. And depending on what their religion is their interpretation. So the Philippines is 99.9% Roman Catholic. And for that reason, when they're told a story like this, usually they'll say it's a demon. And if you hear her approaching the window with the cross and the thing folds over, almost like it shies away or it's fearful of a religious symbol, then you do start to think, and the sense of menace and the sense of dread that accompanies a haunting, then you have to think this must be something malevolent. On the other hand, other people have said this is a Mothman. It looks like a Mothman, you know, it with the wings and everything. It must be a Mothman. And then there's a third theory. And the third theory was something I put together, which I believe to an extent, you know, although I could be dissuaded if I had more information, I think it's a thought form.
Okay, thought form. Let's think about these announcements. And Adele and Jean and Randall will be back. I don't want to say with another accent. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway? Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
I will never do that other accent. They all know what I mean.
Just do the one that you're familiar with.
Bond, James Bond. All right, now, Adele, I wanted to ask you then, thought forms you mentioned in our previous segment.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to me. What's that about?
Okay. So a thought form is something that is conjured by the mind. And if you look at the research way, way back, there is a woman who is an anthropologist by the name of Alexandra David Neal, N-E-E-L. David Neal, in the turn of the century, went to Tibet with the express mission of learning how to conjure a being that can actually move on its own and have life just by the power of someone's intention or someone's mind. She found out through her travels and her learning, she was a highly educated woman, she was an anthropologist, that the Tibetans somehow can create something that has sentience, something that has life, just by concentrating through sustained periods of time. And I'm trying to remember exactly the other piece of research that came out, I believe, in the UK, where they created a rabbit out of concentrating as a group for sustained periods of time at the same time during the day, every day.
In Tibet, I think they call them tulpas.
That's right.
Okay.
The same. Yes.
Okay.
So the idea behind the tulpa or the thought form is that depending on the composition of the group, or in this case, the one person, if their demeanor is that of benevolence and they're joyful and they're content and they're serene, they will create something that is benign. They'll create a creature that is basically harmless and happy. However, you also have the one who is not so benign, people who are more depressed in a sense of angst. And I'm talking not just sadness, I'm talking a prolonged period of time. You can create a creature that is similarly in that vein, but they will not be as benevolent or serene or even funny. So the idea behind it is that our thoughts are powerful enough to create something out of nothing just by sheer energy, because we're, and here's my theory, and I know, right. So David Wilcox always felt that everybody was part of a field, that we're all somehow interconnected in consciousness, that our emotions can be strong enough to influence others, and that our thoughts, if we really have a very strong intention, can influence this field so that it affects people around us and ultimately the outcome of events. It's kind of similar in that vein. And in this particular instance, whatever he created from his depressed mind was a monster. And of course, there's also the fourth theory of what it might be, that it might be a humanoid.
Like so, something objectively real and separate from the experiencer.
Correct. That it's actually something that came from somewhere else. And it's that somewhere else everybody wonders about.
Indeed. Were they able to investigate afterwards to any degree to see if there were anything like footprints or tracks or trace evidence that could verify that something independently real was there?
Not in this area of the world, because this area of the world is very religious. It was strongly influenced by the Spanish, because the Spanish occupied the Philippines for 400 years. In this area of the world, there's people who are also superstitious. So they don't even think about quantifying or looking for evidence. The first thing the woman did was go to a church. She went to her mother and told her what she had seen. And her mother then took her to the parish priest. And sadly enough, the priest, for one reason or another, put them off and told them, oh, maybe I'll go over there and, you know, visit the house next week. So what happened, it was very tragic and certainly portentous, because that following weekend, while the woman was out shopping with her sister, she left the maid alone with the charge not to leave her husband alone. She took the infant child and left the child to be babysat with a sister who was currently visiting her mother's home. So for most of the day, he was alone, and he went into the evening. The servant was very restless, and at this point, she's new, by the way, because the other one that saw it left.
Oh, so she just bailed on the whole situation.
She bailed on
this is for someone else.
This is something else. So okay. And
can't blame her for that.
So this new young woman now enters, and of course, there's talk in the neighborhood. It's a hamlet. Everybody knows everybody. She got wind of what's going on in the apartment. She is very, very intimidated by the whole thing, but needs to stay, needs the job. She contacts her sister and she leaves, I don't know, to go see a movie or something, and leaves him alone.
Okay.
And this is where it gets very tragic, because the wife comes back later in the evening and finds him dead with his own hand.
Oh, that's tragic. Yes, definitely. Especially for someone that young.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the young man again here, the writer. What was he writing about? Do we know?
He had poetry. He also had short stories. There was a sheaf of poems that his wife had found. One was shared with me, and it talks about the bird that flies is false. And that's how the poem begins. And it's very tragic because he never got to see his book published. It was published posthumously after he passed away. And then the story continues, because then this woman, who is now a widow, a very young widow at age 24, takes her infant daughter and moves in with her mother 3 miles away. And the site of that house, which is also just a few years old, was the site of a burial ground. So it continues. And in the whole first half of the book, tells you about all the events that have transpired. And there are some sightings there of UFOs, believe it or not, which makes me think that maybe we're looking at a panoply of not just these discarnate beings, ghosts, whatever they are. I think we're also looking at entities, and somehow they're connected. Some have bodies, obviously, and some do not. I don't know. But this house, this residence, has seen a lot of violence. And in the backyard, there are elves. And I'm not kidding you, Gene. There are things in the back that you don't want to bump into if you are in the backyard at night.
Oh, I can hardly wait to go on a vacation there. I'll just stay in at the hotel, in the resort, and hang out on the beach during the day. That we'll just leave the wandering around in the backwoods someone else then at night. Wow. So are these stories fairly prevalent then? Did you find out later? Or was this just more, kind of an isolated incident, like, the Mothman prophecy?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm glad you asked that, because when you talk about prevalence, there's another university that is actually south of Manila. And this is a totally different family. I was visiting a friend of mine in the area, and this is my own personal encounter. You know, when you start encountering things and then you tell people, they relax because they know you're not a skeptic and they know you're not going to laugh at them, which is why I ended up gathering a lot of stories, because, my husband, who goes on all these different trips with me, would say, oh, you wouldn't believe what she went through and what happened and what she saw. Suddenly you have a group of people that's joining you for dinner and say, oh, this happened to me when I was here and what happened to me.
Oh, that's very interesting. So this became sort of the inspiration then for the book, I'm assuming.
Exactly. It got so many that I started carrying a notebook around. And there was a period of time when I was in MUFON, and I got a lot of cases from that were never documented, never reported, basically because people were very reluctant that somehow their friends or their employers would find out, and they won't be as accepting of them.
And we're going to find out about this. We sure did. Adele, Gene, and Randall, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.